This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's a pretty easy question to answer. We don't have any more. The fact is that, we've been in the top five in spending in baseball spend for the last 5 or 6 years. We're in the top couple in spending last year. We've put our money back on the field. Unfortunately, you just can't have a high-profile free agent every single year.
You can. You actually can.
Such a
I understand it. It's a business, and you don't want to spend all the money all the time. I get it. But the truth is, you can. You just don't want to. Here to talk about the Cubs is the guy who covers them as well or better than anyone else. He is Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic. He is on Twitter at Sahadev Sharma and in Mesa with the Cubs. How are you, Sahadev?
I'm doing well. Surviving out here. Hopefully getting to some baseball eventually, but some important topics being covered otherwise.
Well, what's most important to you baseball-wise right now? What should we be talking about first thing in baseball?
Oh, man. I mean, I think primarily for the team's success, it's between Darvish and Bryant, the health of them. Bryant is adamant that he's healthy. Darvish is obviously healthy, but also needs to just perform. So for Darvish, it's more about I want to see in-game action and really see when the pressure's on, when he hits a bad moment, how he reacts, when the fans turn on him perhaps and he walks a guy and there's boo birds, how does he react, stuff like that. Bryant, I just want to see him really just, let's see him drive the ball, and once he does that, then I'm convinced that he's fine and everything will go forward, because I know how talented he is. I know how good he is, as long as that shoulder is not an issue.
So out of one of the things that Tom Ricketts said yesterday concerning the money that's available is that Theo sees every penny coming in and out of the organization. So if that's true, and I have no reason to believe it's not, it kind of brings to mind a question about whether or not something went wrong with the finances for this team, whether or not something didn't come online or finances aren't available, funds didn't come around. Theo's a guy who plotted out when pitching John Lester his contract that Jason Hayward would be in the outfield. Those things were done in advance, or at least thought about in advance. This offseason doesn't seem to have played out that way. Do you have any sense that something went wrong in the finances, that there isn't money available anymore?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like something did. There's no concrete answer there. We haven't gotten anything to suggest that this went awry in some way. But, I mean, we know that the TV deal has taken much longer than expected. We know that there's no upfront money with that right now when there was supposed to be. And they thought, so, I mean, I think that's a big part of it. These, you know, everything going on around Wrigley is money being invested in the team, per se, but that's not how stuff that, you know, that's not stuff fans want to hear. They want, when you talk about investing in the team, they want to see players added. So it's hard to, you know, reconcile those things for fans especially, and I understand that. There's something there that I think changed in the, I don't know if it was simply, you know, Darvish and Chatwood issues led to Cole Hamels being added, and because of that uncertainty, they felt forced to pick up his option, and that kind of limited them. But even if that's the case, being so frugal, being so tight with everything that you couldn't even add someone like Zach Britton or Adam Ottavino, or even talk to them. They were never in those discussions because they didn't have a chance, because they couldn't spend $10 million a year on a reliever. They had to wait out the process and hope that what happened, which is, you know, the market has been so slow that they were able to get guys on the massive deals. And that's fine. But for me, my issue with that is when you are in the middle of a window of contention, obvious window, you know you're contending right now, you have obvious flaws, I don't think you should be picking from the final guys that are remaining that are willing to take deals at a lower cost. I think you should be picking from the guys that you think are the best players available and adding them to your roster, to making sure you have a stout and deep bullpen.
Can David Bodie play short?
Yeah, he can play there. Let's wait and see. You really want to see that lateral quickness and be able to have the nice hands. He's quick. Like he has good reaction. I remember that at third base, second base. I don't recall seeing that type of range that you want to see from a shortstop, but I don't think he's going to be, just terrible out there.
He's not Daniel Murphy.
No.
Okay.
And that was tough to watch, right? I mean, I think really watching Murphy helped a lot of us put stuff in perspective of just how, Ben Zobrist is a solid, smart second baseman. He knows how to play that. I think Bodie is similar at a younger age, so he has a little more, he's a little quicker, and he's even better defensively. I'm curious to see how it is. He's basically the backup guy. I think they want to create depth and versatility. I don't think this is something that you need to be too concerned about in the sense that, David Bodie's going to be playing multiple times a week at shortstop. If that happens, then we're talking about injuries and depth issues that just shouldn't have arisen.
Were you at all surprised that Ricketts did not have many thoughts at all about labor relations and its state of play in Major League Baseball, or was that just a big long no comment made by one of the principal larger owners in Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I mean, I think owners know that if they talk too much about it, they're going to get themselves in dangerous waters. They know something. The players aren't happy. They shouldn't be crowing about how this is working for them. I think it's interesting that he's going to say, well, the salaries are going down. You have to count Robinson Cano's suspension added to that. I mean, now you're just like finding little nitpicking things to swing things your way. It's clear what's happening here. I don't know why we have to pretend that it's not a major issue. And players are voicing their opinions. Even if there's not an issue, even if you strongly feel like everything's fine, the players don't. And that's a major problem. So that's going to lead to labor unrest, and it's not what the fans want. So, you can't pretend that nothing's going on when people are being very vocal about how upset they are and how things are not good and that players may walk out and strike it at some point, whether that's now or, 3 years from now. It's something that you need to consider and be aware of and acknowledge.
We know that Tommy Hotovy is not shy about using every modality at his disposal to try to monitor and supplement his pitchers. We know every team is bragging about having their Rapsodo camera systems in place to measure every little bit of everything. Are you learning how he's translating it? How all of this is actually being taught? Have you actually gotten to see it be taught or hear players talk about it?
Yeah, no, I'm working on something, so I don't want to give all the details away, but it's interesting because like you said, you have to kind of translate it. You have to, it's not a everyone's the same type instance where here's how I'm going to teach it and you all have to learn it the same way. Everybody needs different information. Some guys, this data that pops out of there tells them that these pitches aren't being used properly, essentially, right? But they've been having success. Do you want to put that in someone's head? I had one pitcher say, hey, I heard that the way I use this pitch isn't right, but I've always had success with that. I'm not sure if I want it in my head that, wait, I'm supposed to be throwing it here, but I've always done here, and it's always worked for me. I think part of it is you want to, maybe it's not ideal, but with human beings, with players, it's hard to make changes until you start failing.
Right.
So it's just like Quintana last year not using the changeup. They were trying to get him to use the changeup, but until he really hit the skids and realized I need to make changes, it was hard for him to do that. Guys have, you're not confident in the pitch and you kind of dumped it. There's a reason you did that. So it's hard to kind of get over that mental hurdle. But yes, there's a lot of different guys that I've talked to. They're all learning in different ways. They all go in this pitch lab that they have and they have different days where they throw there and it spits out all the data. And how they use it and how it's given to them is different for all of them.
So, out of there was over the weekend a little bit of conversation back and forth, Joe Maddon, some of you guys down there, about Wilson Contreras' workload, how often he caught, how many times in a week he caught, and arguing about what four in a row is and isn't or something. Can you clear some of that up for us a little bit and just determine what the issue at hand was and how much Wilson was actually gassed last season versus just bad?
Yeah, no, I think so. Here's what I took away from that. He's not going to go away from using him as his everyday catcher, like how you would the best catchers in baseball. I think he made a good point, and I'm not sure if he realized he was making a good point, but go look at the best catchers in baseball. They were all hurt last year,
So
they didn't rack up innings. So when we look at how many innings Wilson Contreras had and how much more it was than the next guy, well, Real Muto missed a month. Molina, I believe Molina was hurt. Gary Sanchez was hurt. Buster Posey was hurt. These are the best guys that rack up the innings most years. So Wilson Contreras is supposed to be in that category. So you need to figure out, is he mentally fatigued? Is he physically fatigued? Is it? I honestly think it was part of the puzzle, yes. But I really think he put too much pressure on himself, and a lot of it was mental and how he channeled his energy. This guy has a ton of energy, and I think the frustration led to that energy coming out in ways that you just don't want it to come out. It wasn't an efficient use of that energy, if that makes sense. So he needs to figure out a way, and I think he's working on it, to channel that energy better and more productively. And I think we know how good he is. We know how talented he can be, the performance he can put up. I do think a little drop in innings would be ideal. But if Joe's going to ride him as a catcher, 120 starts is probably fine.
And how about learning how to frame a pitch? I'd be more interested in that than the total number of innings. You help your pitchers out a little bit, dude.
Yeah, he doesn't seem – it's not that he's not working on it. It's hard. I think he doesn't like to talk about it with us, so it comes off as dismissive. And I think people get the impression that he doesn't care or that he's not working on that. I think he works on that. I know Borzy is big on that. Mike Borzello is working with him on all those things. And you know what? I think it's more important that if he's not going to talk to us about it and get into details about it, that's fine. I know that he's working on it with Borzello. I've talked to Borzello about that. It's something that they work on. And, if Borzello and Contreras sometimes battle about it, that's fine. But eventually he'll relent and he listens to Borzello.
Sahadev, thanks for always being available for us, man.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic covering the Cubs.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.